Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. We've been preaching through Joshua, his life, through Deuteronomy 31 and through Numbers a bit as well. And finally, here we are actually entering into the book of Joshua after so many weeks of this. But it's this phrase that's been repeated already over and over to Joshua and to Israel, to be strong and courageous. Usually in Sunday school, if you know one thing about Joshua besides taking the promised land, it's that one phrase to Joshua, be strong and courageous. So what's going on here? Well, if you have children, you need strength and courage from the depth of your being, right? To actually raise children in the way they should go and to be strong and courageous, you need that strength. And we tell our kids this as well, right? And maybe you were told this as a kid to if you fall over, you scrape your knee, it starts to bleed, you're crying, because that's what you do, right? And your parents, especially maybe dad, I don't know, maybe you have a mom who's a nurse, they usually do this as well, where they just tell you to get up, you know, to suck it up, to move on, to push forward, get through it. And go forward. My second daughter, Daphne, does this the best, actually. Automatically. I don't have to tell her a thing. She'll get hurt, and she actually tells me not to look, right? So she'll cover up her wound. It could be bleeding. Doesn't matter. No, Dad, no, don't look. And then tries to go back and play, you know? She just kind of, what she does in the end is she's not really being strong and courageous. She's just avoiding her pain, right? And I think that's often what we like to do to be strong and courageous, is we actually just avoid pain. We just maybe suppress it, push it down, ignore it, ignore that it exists, and just kind of move on. That's what we mean by strong and courageous. And I wonder if there's something else that we're supposed to be informed in what it is to be strong and courageous this morning. I wonder for Joshua what it was for him to be strong and courageous. Was it just to get through the pain, or was there something else going on? What was the source of his strength and courage? Well, Joshua now in the first chapter here is again facing the promised land. He sees it. We've been talking for weeks now about chasing the promise of God. For Joshua, it was chasing this promised land, that he was the one to be the military force to go in and finally take this promise that's over 400 years old. How incredible for him as he faces it and can taste it as he looks over that land. And in the very beginning of our passage here today in Joshua chapter 1, God is meeting with Joshua and again describing to him the land that he's about to take. Describing exact measurements even a little bit here of what it is. It was after the death of Moses. It says the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready. Get ready to cross the Jordan. There's a river between them and the promised land, and that's about it, besides this giant army of people in all of these cities. These first five verses are God's charge to Joshua, that he's actually meeting with him to instruct him in these ways. It says, get up, get ready. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the great sea on the west. And no one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. God is with Joshua. We saw this actually in Deuteronomy 31 when he's commissioned. So if we just dip back there one more time to see a little bit more. In verse 14, Moses and Joshua are gathered into this tent of meeting. It's a meeting place where Moses would go and talk with God. And what would often happen is this great big cloud, this pillar of cloud would come at the front end of the tent of meeting, and Moses would have a conversation. Everyone would know. Everyone in the camp would know God is with Moses right now. Well, in this moment, Moses brings Joshua in as the pillar of cloud comes and they have a conversation with God. God is now with Joshua as he was with Moses. So now he has a charge for Joshua. There's going to be three strong and courageous phrases that come up that all have a different aspect around them that I want to highlight for us this morning. The first one being this. In verse 6 of Joshua chapter 1, be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. The first one is this: be strong and courageous, because I have a job for you. It's a giant job. It's a huge task that I have for you to do. So you actually need to be strong and courageous. You got to cross this river. You got to take city after city after city. It's going to be arduous. It's going to be hard. People are going to die. It's hard. Be strong and courageous, because the job ahead needs it. It requires it. Well, the second one goes like this: be strong and very courageous. Notice the difference? Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. This be strong and courageous comes right before this idea of rightly handling the book of the law. Of course, you need strength to go and take the promised land. But Joshua also needed to be strong and very courageous to do what? To handle the word. There's something about the book of the law here and the word of God for us that we need strength and courage for. When we tackle scripture and what it's talking about, and we tackle the word and who he is, we need strength and courage. And actually, here and then also at the end of Joshua's life, in chapter 23, verse 6, is the only other time it says to be very courageous. There's something about handling the book of the law. In fact, it says it's the only way you are prosperous. It's the only way you'll be successful, is if you actually listen and obey the word, that you meditate on it day and night. It's actually a famous verse a lot of people put in their homes, right? It's you meditate on it day and night. There's something significant going on here. In verse 9, then it goes on to the third strong and courageous. And God says to Joshua, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. The Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. The last thing, the first one was about be strong and courageous for the job you have to do. The second one is to be strong and courageous because the word requires you to be strong and courageous to handle it. And the third one is talking not about a job or anything, but actually your source of strength. The source of Joshua's strength and courage. You see, God wasn't just calling Joshua to be strong and courageous. He's saying, recognize the source from which you are strong and courageous. It's because of the Lord your God being with you that you are courageous. If you review and go back through Joshua 1 and Deuteronomy 31 and anywhere else where Joshua is being encouraged by God, it's always because of this concept to be strong and courageous, because God is with you. God is with you, the Lord your God. I love that when you see the word Lord in scripture, in Old Testament in particular, it's the name of God, which is like Yahweh. You know that? Have you heard that before? Yahweh. One day I'm going to preach an entire sermon on Yahweh. But God actually uses his name here. It says his power and all his might and all his presence. I'm going to be with you wherever you go. That's why you can be strong and courageous. He's the source of strength and courage. Well, Well, church, today, God is with us, I think, in two ways from this passage that we need to get into. Word and presence. He's with us in word and he's with us in presence. He's with us in word, simply not in a written word, like I open this book and I read it and I study it. Maybe for some of us, we just collect dust on our shelves, but we get into the word, right? But it's not simply written. Scripture teaches us, even in Joshua here, that it's actually something living and it's actually something active and something spoken. The word was always first spoken before written. And it continues to speak even today. It's not simply something we study, but it's something that studies us. I think of John chapter 1 in the Gospel of John. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word. The Word, we consider the second person of the Trinity, whom we simply call Jesus. Jesus is the Word. He was there in the beginning. So in Genesis 1, you can always turn and look there and you can see the Spirit hovering over the vastness of space, right? And in the very first bit of Genesis, it says God spoke and things came to be, right? He didn't grab his nails and some timber and start hammering away. He just spoke. Let there be light, and there was light. The spoken word. The spoken word is living and active. We see this in Hebrews 4:12. Let me read for you Hebrews 4:12. It says, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. You see, it's not simply something we can read or just study and find historical context in. No, it's actually something that works and transforms who we are and our being. It's not something simply to memorize, to check off a list, but it's the word that is living and active that forms and shapes who we are. Eugene Peterson, I'm going to read a fairly lengthy quote that'll be up on the screen here for you to read along with me. He's addressing pastors in this, but I think it'll work for everybody. He says this, it follows that the widespread academic practice, which pastors have unhappily fallen in with, of treating the scriptures primarily, if not exclusively, as a phenomenon of print, a textbook, written to provide us with information about God or doctrine or morals or religious history, is a fatal error. A textbook is the one thing that the scriptures most emphatically are not. And the worshiping church at worship has never so much as entertained such a notion. Something much larger and more active is perceived. A verbal matrix in which the believing behavior of a worshiping community is shaped and renewed. God both was and is active in Scripture. Not everybody, of course, believes that, but the church's scholars and theologians believe that. Scripture is revelation. When a living God reveals himself, the result is a living truth. Peterson, this pastor to pastors, is encouraging the church to not simply handle this written text as written, but as something spoken and living and active that actually shapes us in our innermost being. Because the word, first and foremost, is Jesus. And he shapes us. So as we study this text, as you take scripture home with you, as you read other people's commentaries on it, it is always meant to first be spoken into your life. God is with you. Not simply in a Bible that's on your shelf, but he's with you in the word. That's living and active. The second thing is this, his presence. His presence. This is the most obvious one in Joshua that we can see that God says, I'll be with you wherever you go. There's not a place you could go on earth where you go where I will not be. I'm with you. I'm with you. His palpable, his manifest presence, his actual presence. We can often think about that metaphorically, like you could tell your friends who are going on a trip or the people going to David camp, right? That I'm going to be with you, right? You know, I'm with you in spirit. But in actuality, God is with us in spirit. And scripture actually tells us that he lives within us if we receive him. And he goes with us in presence, actually. Our problem is this, is simply recognizing that God is with us. Recognizing that he's actually here with us. It's one of the reasons I love Christmas so much. Yeah, I mentioned Christmas. That's scary, isn't it? It's one of the reasons I love Christmas so much, because you get to emphasize this idea that God is with us. That he came down and he wasn't so lofty in heaven to avoid his creation, but he came to be with us. That was his point from the beginning. Not that he would create something and let you go as orphans, but he wanted to be with you. He wants to be with us, the church, and walk with us through life in every aspect of our lives. But recognizing it is the hard part. But when we do, it changes how we see everything. It changes how we do life. When we see through spiritual eyes and with kingdom focus, with a kingdom lens, as if we have the kingdom in focus, and that's the viewpoint, the worldview on which we see life. It changes how we live. Changes how we see money, for example. So if we go back to Hebrews in 13, verse 5. I'll flip there quickly for all of us. I want you to listen to what this has to say. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Why? Because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Isn't that incredible? So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Simply because God is with us, we can have the strength and the courage to proclaim, even over money, even over our life circumstance, even over parenting those impossible children, even over that course in school that you're struggling to get through, we can say, God is with me. He says, what can man do against me? What can man do against me? If you read David, if you go through the Psalms, this is his conclusion over and over again. It's because God is with me that I am strong to live my life today. That helps me to breathe another breath, to take another step. It's God is with us. There's a few lies around God is with us that I think is really important to address when we're talking about God with us. The first one is this. The first he is with you lie is that he'll always give you success in your own eyes. Right? He'll give you success in your degree. He'll give you success in your career. He'll give you every success in your parenting. That he wants you to be rich and the healthiest person in the world. There's a lie of the gospel that goes around called the health and wealth gospel. Maybe you're familiar with it. But it's one of these lies that if God is with you, the conclusion is that you'll be wealthy and happy and healthy for the rest of your life, right? But here's the reality is God is not a genie, right? He's not a genie as a lamp that we are to rub and get our several thousand wishes, because we've already wished for more wishes, right? We broke the first law, whatever. But we wish for more wishes. And now we have all the wishes in the world. We just come to God. God, I wish for this and I wish for this. And sometimes our language in prayer reflects that. Sometimes we even say wish. Maybe we mask it and call it hope. But he's with us. Doesn't mean that he's a genie, but it means that he walks with us through every success and failure. The only way to have success, actually, in Joshua verses 7 and 8 there in the first chapter, is to actually follow his law, meditate on it day and night, and then you'll be prosperous and be successful. But in not your own eyes, but in the kingdom eyes. In the eyes that we receive as we're immersed in his kingdom work. Namely, the promise. Several weeks ago, I brought up what this promise is for us today. It's the kingdom of God that is coming and is breaking into our world here today in healing and freedom and salvation. This is the kingdom of God breaking in where there's no more crying and pain and sickness and death. Yes, he's bringing all those things about, but it's through the valleys of pain, the hardships of a broken world because of sin. No, he's not a genie, but he's with you. Second lie is this. It's kind of the negative slant of this lie that he's with you. There's a psalm called Psalm 139, and some people read it and get anxious when God says that he's with you wherever you go, right? That's the tone they read it in. Yeah, it's kind of like Santa Claus, right? He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. That's two Christmas references today. I don't know what's going on inside me right now. Right, but that's the mode that sometimes we have on in God is this picture of God is this haunting father instead of a loving father. Do you know what I'm talking about? That we live life in anxiety that the father is constantly disappointed with me. And I live a life of shame. That's a lie. Church, that's a lie. We're never meant to live in shame. No, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. That's what scripture says. He is with you is not to look over your shoulder like a condescending parent. But no, he's with you to give you strength and courage to go through the hardest aspects of life, to coach you through, to give you his strength, to give you wisdom even. That's what James tells us, that God will give us wisdom if we ask for it. He's with us. Here's the main truth today that I wanted to bring out in all of these lies through Joshua today. He's with us, makes us strong and courageous for every aspect of your life, no matter what you go through. Even when you feel like he's not there. Even when you feel like he's not there. Some of you feel that way today. He's with you. In the mountaintops, in the valleys, or in the mundane of life where you feel like you're just going through the motions. He is with us, causes us to take the promise of God and apply it to every aspect of our life. And this makes us fully devoted followers of Jesus. So today, my charge for you is this: be strong and courageous. Maybe not like my daughter who will just kind of hide her wounds and move on, but to face the wounds head on. Because he is with you. He is with you. Be strong and courageous. The way Joshua got to be strong and courageous is by listening to this God. He could have ignored him. He could have not answered the call. He could have rebelled against God when Moses called him out from the crowd and said, Joshua, you're going to lead these people. No, he took a moment to listen. You see it in Numbers 13 and now in Joshua 1. He's actually meeting with God. He's actually meeting with God. So this morning, I thought I would give you a few elements of listening that could be helpful. So worship team, you can come as I give these out. The elements to help you listen are this, is to create space and breathe. To create space seems very basic, doesn't it? But for those of us who have considered ourselves busy in any time in the past year, right? We have busy lives. To create space is really important to have these moments where God's presence can meet with us and to breathe. I wonder from how many of you in this past week, you forgot to breathe at one point. Life was a little overwhelming. This Psalm 46:10 can be so helpful in that as you pray it to be still and know that I am God. Sometimes I just take that psalm and I just breathe it in and exhale out my life. I breathe in, be still. And I exhale and know that I am God. Sometimes things pop into my mind, these to-dos, so I just quickly write them down. Have a pen and paper nearby and write it down and put it to the side. One of the things that people often think, though, is like I need to get rid of my worries and leave them at the door and they keep nagging me. Those things we need to bring to him. Say, God, here, I'm worried about this. Would you take this? And then allow yourself then to be calmed by God. God, would you calm me today? In this moment, calm my spirit that I might listen for you. The second to last one is really hard. Wait. Just wait. Wait on him. Scripture is full of these passages about waiting on the Lord. And that's where we find strength. Sit, be still, and wait. Let him show you how he is with you. We don't need to conjure it up. Wait. And when things do pop in your mind after that, acknowledge him. Say, God, that's you. You're with me. You're with me. I'm going to give you a few moments to do that here this morning. I'll lead you in it a little bit and allow you to practice it before we sing our final song. So if you can, if you want to close your eyes, you can. If you want to look at the seat back in front, it doesn't matter. Just let's create some space here today. To be still and know that he is God. Whatever a safe space is for you, just go there in your mind. Begin to breathe and be still. Still and know that he is God. If something comes to mind, write it down, maybe push it to the side, I don't know. Bring him your worries. But be still and know that he is God.